The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with Spencer Ward. Might be my longest standing current client. I don't know. And I don't know what kind of podcast appearances, but this might be three or four. So the reason we have Spencer back, aside from him saying yes, because he's nice, is he just keeps kicking butt. Like every time we have him back, I think it's next level, next level, next level. So for fun, I'll see if Lindsay can put in the, the links, like all of his episodes, but if not, go search Spencer Ward or New Clean and just, you can kind of hear Spencer growing and kicking butt. But today we are on a theme. And for those of you not joining us on YouTube, he's got a very cute dog in the back just wandering the earth. So you're missing out on some good content, all of you podcast people. So the reason we've got Spencer on today is we are focusing a lot of our training on $10,000 a month in profit, obviously not revenue, not sales, but profit to you, working 10 hours a week. And I know some of you are beyond that in revenue and probably fewer of you are working less than that per week, but few, if any, have that combination. And for those of you that are like, I'm already at that combination. Well, you have to get there before you can go to the next level. So as opposed to kind of talking, you know, we do a lot of $1 million, multi-$1 million business talk, cause that's fun. But 100% of businesses that get to $1 million go through some version of 10 grand in profit, which you should probably be hitting around 300,000-400,000 and per month. And certainly well under 10 hours a week working in your business. So when you're working on it, meaning I'm creating systems for commercial, I'm building relationships with high value, be at least six, probably seven figure lifetime value clients, doing stuff that I can do once and I get paid forever. That would be working on your business. And you can do that zero, right? If you want to take a month and not do any of that, you can take a month. It's fine, right? If you don't want to do payroll or clean something or do a schedule or fight with a client or all that crap is in the business. So when I say 10 hours a week, you know, a lot of you are like, I want to work more than that. That's fine. Just be working on it, not in it. So Spencer is one of the better examples, maybe the best, I don't know, example of, we always joke in the higher level program, he and I are the ones, we have all this time and money to travel, but we got kids. all the other ones are like living the high life. And we're like, we could, but we got the daggum kid. And he's got more than I do. So why don't you, or if you would, Spencer, walk us through kind of from your perspective, what your biggest hold up, so to speak, was getting to that, which was harder? Was it the 10 grand in profit or the now for those of you not on YouTube, we've got Urination. Oh, it's over. Okay, so you, not from Spencer, if you're wondering, like,
what the whole episode,
that was the dog. Yeah, I'm like, is it frozen? The dog's standing still, but Spencer's move. Oh, okay, and now I get it. So you podcast people are really missing out on the layer, and now the dog is rolling around in the grass like a I can't keep my eyes off this dog. He's fascinating. All right. Sorry, podcast folks. I can't see this dog we're talking about.
I am outdoors, podcast people. You're not urinating in my house. So
no. Yeah. I know Callie and she would have, not that Spencer would be okay with it, but Callie would have zero tolerance for that kind of nonsense. So what was kind of first, which was harder, the getting to 10 hours a week or getting to 10 grand a month in profit? And second, what was the biggest holdup for each? I know it's kind of a broad question, but I'd love to hear all of it that you're willing to share.
I think it was a double-edged sword for me at the beginning, because I think at the beginning I was so hyper-focused on top-line revenue that I lost focus on the bottom-line revenue. Obviously, that's the most important, because you know you can have as much top-line as you possibly can, you know, you can imagine, but if you're doing even a couple million a year, and you're keeping only 3 or 4%. Geez, you're working. You're not much better than a, you know, minimum wage job almost at that point. Like, so it's just like,
I would argue much worse, because there's a tremendous amount of risk that goes along with that. So so if you're making 50 grand a year salary, or you're making 50 grand a year off of a $2 million business, one, you get paid no matter what. There's no risk. You just kind of, you got your 2 weeks, you do what you want to do. But if you own a business, you're on the hook, baby. You got payroll to make. Like, there, you start moving a couple hundred grand a month in and out of a business. there's some risk. It's not like getting paid is optional. Like, I mean, I guess it's just not a party I want to attend. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Exactly. No, that's fine. And you're exactly right though. Like, so it took me some time, you know, with Mike and this kind of leads me to my second point is just the mindset of, you know, what do I want to be known as someone who makes this, you know, a good top line revenue or someone who actually can bring home the bacon and have that, you know, walking around money, that WOM, you know, to support your family and do fun things with your family and not have to like, oh, well, I can't pay ourselves this month because this piece of equipment got broken and I got to repair that. And our margins are so tight. I mean, I'm barely bringing home anything that I, sorry, missus, or sorry, kids, no Disneyland this month or we're going to have to postpone it. You know, that all comes from keeping yourself hyper-focused on the top line revenue instead of your bottom line revenue. So it was mindset of thinking, okay, I've got to focus on bottom line revenue. That's all that matters. You know, making sure my books are clean, number one. And that, you know, Mike helped tremendously with that. And then just continued to help looking through my contracts and saying, okay, this one, I'm way high on my COGS. Let's get rid of them. You know, let's raise the prices. Let's do what we need to do to get me to the top, the bottom line revenue that I need to be at to be comfortable and to make all this risk and effort worth it. So that's,
let me translate it. Well, just, there's a couple things that people might be saying. I don't want them to miss it. So for those of you going, that's not me. My business is very profitable. I just choose to leave it in. I reinvest in my business. That's you. We're talking about you. If you're not, Spencer called walking around money out of the daggum business, money that goes from Spencer's cleaning company, LLC to Spencer and his wife, no LLC. It's got to come out of the business. So we tell ourselves this lie, like, oh, I bought equipment. I did this. I'm reinvesting. I bought a website, even coaching, which I'm a big fan of. That's not profit. So it's okay to go, I'm going to invest in the business and take less of a profit. Not what I'd recommend you do, but you could do it. Where you get bit is where you tell yourself you're making profit. Like, oh, because I invest in the bit, it's super profitable, but I'm investing it all back in. When you run your company right, there's plenty of money for payroll and coaching and marketing and all the stuff that you want to do and a 20, 30% net profit. So I just want to encourage you, for those of you going, oh, my business is profitable, I just choose to reinvest in my business. That's the same thing. If you're not taking it out, it is not profit. Okay. So for you, which was harder, if either, making the $10,000 in profit, not revenue, because again, when I met Spencer, he's doing a good job growing revenue and confused, like, why am I working so hard and so broke? Because the bottom line was not matching the top line. So was it harder to make the profit or harder to get that time freedom or similar?
I would say similar for me, because like I said, like, it was a couple things had to click for me, really. I just had to realize, okay, what's most important to me in my life? Number one, my family's, you know, ultimate, the most important. I want to have the time and the money to be able to do what I want with them. Little by little, I was able to get off of working in my business. At the beginning, I had the same mindset of everyone else thinking, hey, how am I going to train someone to do this and this and this? Cause I do it all the best. You know, I can't train someone how to do payroll. I can't train someone how to schedule. I can't train someone how to strip and wax. Well, you can. And so now, as I little, just piece by piece, started to do that and starting to see, like, oh, hey, people are successful at doing these things that we're training them to do. Awesome. I started taking a step back, but then I found myself trying to go in a little bit here and there, because I was used to being busy. So I kind of kept going in and trying to tinker on things. And then I finally realized I'm getting in the way.
Yep.
I need to step back. And so, yeah, now I'm just, you know, I'm sitting in my backyard. I am doing a few things. I'm working on the business today. Nothing that I'm going to be doing working in. If I had to count the hours that I work in my business today, in a month, it would maybe be two. And that's, you know, stuff that I maybe, you know, choose here and there to help out with. So other than that, it's great knowing that you can train, just like Mike says, you can train anyone to do anything in your business. So that's been a big one. But
yeah, the struggling entrepreneur who is working way too hard for too little money is no one can X like me. No one can clean like me. Mm-hmm. No one can schedule like me. No one can sell like me. Fill in the blank. No one can X like me. And we had a really good podcast. We recorded yesterday. I'm not sure what it's going to do, but Janelle, one of our mindset coaches, I've been doing this 8 years, and she said it so much more clearly than I'd ever thought it through before. She said, just because someone else can do something as well or better than you, like cleaning or managing a team or hiring or training or whatever you're attached to, doesn't make you worth less than you were before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. I think we think somehow if other people can clean, you know, we say things like, well, my clients want me or no one else will do it like me, but we think like, where's my value then? Right. And mm-hmm. it can be scary, but on the other side of it, and Spencer, feel free to comment as you see fit. There's so much more about anyone can clean, no offense, but to build mm-hmm. a team and create something special and serve at a high level and get dozens or hundreds of clients and make that, we don't get paid for nothing. We get paid for adding value in people's lives. And that goes to our vendors, our customers, our employees, the whole team. So yeah, sometimes you have to give up something good of I go in and I clean. It makes me feel good. It makes my client feel good. And I get money. That's a good thing. Not over mm-hmm. and over for 20 years for 50 hours a week, but you know, in small doses for a little bit, that there's nothing wrong with that. But to get something great, which is being an entrepreneur and affecting 1,000 homes, even when I'm not in them, even when I could be traveling the world, you got to give up that good of I'm the only one, I'm the best, I have to do this thing. So what was the biggest obstacle or what were the biggest obstacles for you, Spencer, on getting to that 10,000 in profit and getting control? So you're working just a couple hours a month in your business and on your business, you can work 0 or 100, depending on whatever you want, from wherever you want.
I would say number one was just finding good core value people to help lead, you know, good, you know, just like you say, you know, the positions that we should have in our business, a good, the director of client happiness, you know, a good scheduler, good people that are good core value matches that don't have to have me leaning over their shoulder every second to say, hey, how do I do this? What do you want me to do here? They, you know, I give them, I empower them to make those decisions. Say, hey, the rules are core values. Just don't contradict the core values and roll on. And that was a big one, having that cleared up. And because we've had some people in the past that were not core value matches, and that really cost us a lot of money. And now that we have these good core value matches in place, that would be one of the biggest ones, because we're more profitable than we ever have been at this point, just because we have people that are like us hiring other people that are like us. That is big.
And Spencer just said something really important. I think what we think is two mistakes that I want you guys to make . One is we don't write our core values down. Core values are who we are, what we were before we had this company, who we're going to be after we've had this company, who we are at home when no one's looking, just who we are and how we're wired. Instead of writing that down, we write what I would call aspirational values, which are work hard, do the best, be an amazing human, like love our customers. And I'm not saying those are all great, but that's not who, you know what I'm saying? You didn't come out of the womb going, I'm going to love my customers. And, you know, we don't cut corners, we clean them. You know, but you at 5 or 6, I can tell you some of my little guy's 7, I can tell you his core values, right? Or some of them, at least, it's who he is. So the aspirational ones bite us in the neck, because as soon as you hire people, they go, oh, you're full of crap. You say that this is who you are, but it's really who you want to be. And it's okay to go, here's our value. This is, so for me, it's have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And that's who I am all the time without trying. That's just who I am. Now, do I want to be a great coach? Of course. So that's a value. I tell our people we want to get better at coaching and we want to whatever. But if I told people that's who I was, I'm the smartest guy, I'm the best looking guy, I'm the whatever the things I thought it would take to get my team or you guys as clients or prospective clients to like me, you'd know me for 2 seconds. I go, well, that's not who you are. And it wouldn't work. So the beauty of core values are these are who you already are. That you know you're that because you don't have to work hard, right? Spencer and I spent a lot of time in person together. And I don't have to be like, ah, dang it, Spencer and I are going to dinner, like put on the old Mike fake, you know, let's put on the old charm. He like, it's the same knucklehead that he knows. I don't have to fake it. I'd be exhausted. And Spencer's smart enough to be like, this isn't you. So when you are who you are, that's step one. So don't do aspirational, do real, who you really are. You can still have aspirational goal. Like, I want you to be this way and I want to be this way. Just don't say that's the rules of your company, because if you're not following the rules, no one else is gonna. So if they're your rules that you follow in life, you can just follow them and it's easy. Second piece would be, we try and find people that don't fit our core values and bend them to meet that. That is a fool's errand and will make you unhappy and them hate you and be wildly unprofitable. So the only magic to core values is be who you are, not who you want to be. Just be clear with it. And then find people who already live, who are already that way. And then as opposed to me going, Spencer, you got to have more fun. And why are you always so serious and do this and be like me and him resenting me and me resenting, we can just do the thing that he was probably having fun making money. You know, those were important to him before I met him. And, you know, when one of us goes, they'll be important to the other guy. Right. So one, make them your actual values, not your aspirational. Two, find people that are already living that life and following those rules. And it's super easy. When I go to Spencer, hey, dude, you're so heavy, man. You don't have any fun in your business. What's going on? He's not going to get defensive. I don't have to fight him. He's like, yeah, that isn't me. And then he's going to kind of follow his own rule. Hey, new friend, love that you are here. If you want more Cleaning Nation, more us, you can check us out on YouTube. Similar content, you just get to see each other. It's totally free. Or if you want to say, hey, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, join our free Facebook group. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. That's what makes it magic. Jump on. We'll see you there. So that was what I hear you saying is the biggest obstacle to, was that both the how to make the 10 grand and get to 10 hours, or was it just more one or the other, the not having the core values match people to do the work?
That I would say a lot of both. Okay. I was going to say something too. When you said when we have non-core value people that we try to bend, I feel when we have that happening, at times we start going back and doubting ourselves, doubting our training systems we have set in place, thinking, well, we better go back to the drawing board and really spell it out. You know, pick up this, do that. You know, don't do this, and you don't need to. You know, we've all had those fears, but if you have the core value people in place, they're going to understand it. You know, they're going to, if you have good systems in place, just you don't need to have to spell out every little thing, because the people that you have the best training for, and you spell it out perfectly. You couldn't, you know, you have it in your mind thinking, oh, how do I say this so perfectly? You could literally have a super perfect system. But if you don't have someone who's not a core values match, it'll all be for naught, because they will always find a way not to do what you want them to do.
They're always going to follow their rules, no matter what you write down. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if you do have a core values match, you still don't need it, because they're going to do it anyway. Like, I don't micromanage any of my team, because they're great people that already, that's the beautiful thing about the rules is I don't have to be like, we're going to be the best coach and offer the best services to RP, because we love helping out. So that's just who we are. It's in our DNA. So everything that flows from that works, and make money, right? We don't want to, if we're not making money, you guys aren't making money, it violates our core values. So I don't have to find people that are like, pretend like you really care about our clients. Like, I don't know anyone that's good of an actor, right? And if they're like, I can't afford Brad Pitt or whoever a real actor would be. Yeah. And even then, people are going to feel it when you spend time with them. Cause couldn't agree more. All right. I've got two more questions and we'll call it.
Okay.
One, what for those still struggling either on the time or the money, I'm not making 10 grand a month, or I'm working way more than 10 hours, or usually those go together. And that's what I'm getting from this podcast, by the way, Spencer. A lot of you solve one, you kind of solve the other. It's really hard to make good profit while working a ton in the business. And it's really hard to work a ton in the business, make any daggone profit. So what would you say to that guy or gal struggling, from your experience of walking through this?
So the people that you're saying, the people that are, they're making the money, but they can't step away.
Either way, either I'm not making the money, or I'm working too many hours, or most of them probably not. I'm not making any money and I'm working too many hours.
Yeah. Well, I would say number one, listen to Mike. Whatever his modules are saying, is whatever systems are saying, step by step, just follow them. And the people that aren't successful in this program are the people that aren't doing the steps. If you need to raise prices and you know you need to raise prices. It's just going to loom over you. And you know you're not going to make money that much longer if you don't go and do it. So that would be number one. Number two,
dirty secret about that. Okay. Before hitting that, we used to just have the podcast. We didn't even have a program or anything. And I did a little one-on-one training, and this evolved. And the reason it evolved is we had a bunch of people on the podcast and I don't keep a lot of stuff on here. Like, we obviously, the systems and the process we show you are more articulate and in the right order with the spreadsheet. So there's more, but the information is all here. The reason we do the program and you guys would pay us is we help you make sure it actually gets implemented. So if you're like, I'm cheap, I don't want to buy your program. If you literally just do the things I tell you on the podcast, you get the same results. And it's harder without a mindset coach and a paid traffic coach. And me, you know, I'm not disvaluing coaching and saying it's worth nothing. I'm just saying you can pay us and not do what we tell you to do and you will get no results. Or you can do what we tell you to do in the podcast for free and you will get results. So the magic is the results. And if you're like 99% of the people, you do need a coach. You need a community and accountability and all that sort of thing. But the magic, I wish giving me money somehow made your life better, but it doesn't do anything if you do the things, if you follow the coaching. So Spencer's dead on. It's not, I love this coach or I love this guy and he makes me feel good and I'm so much smarter. Great for entertainment. But if you want to grow a business, you got to do the daggum work, whether you pay me or not. So the believe it or not, and you know what the only magic about the paying is? Now you do the work because you're like, well, shit, I can't get part of my language. I can't get this guy that kind of money and not get any results. So the money kind of makes you do the action, but the money's not the magic. The action, the magic. So find a way to take action. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it was such a good point. You had an
no. It's so true. Cause if you take action, you eliminate that insanity from your life, because other than that, you're just literally wishing you had something different and you know the answer to it. You're just too scared to make that step, that leap. So that would be a big number one for me. And then number two, when you start making the money, you know, because it's not hard to start making it when you get your numbers dialed in, you get good people in place, start making money. This is something I dealt with. Start making money and then thinking, okay, I've spent so many years building this company and my whole life has revolved around this company. I don't have any hobbies. So when I have nothing really on the agenda for the day to do, like working at the company, I'm thinking, well, what do I do? Do I find busy work for me to do? Or do I try to get a potential client on the golf course with me? Or do I, you know, go buy some jet skis or a small boat or whatever?
And just, you mentioned this earlier,
my family.
Or do I tinker in the business when it doesn't need to be tinkering and slow the daggum thing down? That's another,
yes.
That's another option.
Exactly.
Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And I've definitely seen that, you know, when I've tinkered or people see me in the shop, like, oh, grabbing something, like, oh, you're here doing that. Oh, okay. I don't have to be here. Oh no. So the more they see you in trying to do stuff, they're gonna be like, oh, he's got that. No. You want them to know their positions, know their role, and just do it. So yeah, you do mess things up when you try to interject and try to get into those situations like that. So, but yeah, have a hobby, you know, have something that you can go back on, you know, after you're done being in the business. Find something you enjoy doing to bring that happiness in your life, to have that to complete circle, you know. You've got the professional side, you got the hopefully a fun side going, you know, and be that father, be that son, be that brother, be that, you know, husband, you know, or wife, or, you know, that you want to be. So that's been a big one for me, and I think my relationship's been stronger with my wife and my kids by understanding that, is that, you know, I've got nothing going on today, let's go have some fun. And coming back the next day, I used to be so worried. Oh, did so and so do this? So and so do that? And they do. They do it all. They're better at it than I was. And coming back, thinking, why am I even worried? I'm just going to go off and leave for another week and have fun, more fun with my family now. So,
I'm so glad that you brought that up, Spencer. We talk about this more with our clients who are actually going through this, and I probably don't bring it up enough on the podcast. And it almost sounds like you know, if I was listening to this podcast, I'm like, this is a shill, like this is fake. But it sincerely, we get the smaller example up front is people literally coming to us cleaning toilets or, you know, having to fill in or never having enough people. And within a couple months, they're like, I have too many clients, I've got too many applicants, and I want to play back like week to them going, I can't find anyone, to literally going, Mike, I got to turn off my funnel. There's too many people coming in. And we're upgrading our problems, but they're real problems, right? So it's easy to be like, easy for you, rich white guy, sit in your backyard with your dog rolling around. But it's true. That happens time after time after time. When you've spent your life and frankly your identity working 50, 60 hours a week. I'm an owner, I'm a cleaner, I'm a whatever, to make the money. And then you're making the same or more, or a lot more, working virtually none. It can be hard to unwind that. So definitely be ready for that mindset. And that's where you go back to tinkering and you kind of get back into, yeah, you self-sabotage, right? Because you can't, like, hopefully you guys hear Spencer comfortable in his own skin going, yeah, when I want to work, I do high value leverage stuff that I enjoy doing. And when I don't want to work, I don't work. And I'm okay with that because I have people that I'm paying and, you know, I'm not better than them, but that's where they're at and they're what they're choosing for their life. And this is what I've chosen and what I've created, and it's okay. So believe it or not, that's a real thing. When you get out of, there's two big shifts. One is out of cleaning and the other's out of the office. And when you make each of them, there could be this guilt. And like we talked, I'm less than, I'm not worth it. What am I doing? I'm not bringing any value. How can I get paid? And you definitely, that's where the mindset coaching comes in. All right. Last question for you, buddy. And I'm just interested because I know my experience, but I want to hear yours. That kind of the first 100K and getting down to 10 hours a week, how long did that take, you know, in half years, right? It doesn't have to be like an exact days. And then I don't want to speak too far, but I think you're probably working well under 10 hours a week in or on your business. And I think you're probably making more than double the six figures. How long did that second, you see what I'm saying? Like, cause it feel for me, it feels like it takes a lot to get that first, you know, the first 10 grand a month or 100 grand a year and, you know, 10 hours a week. And then you go from, so to go from zero to 100 is a son of a gun. And then from 100 to 200, in my experience, is much easier. And for 2 to 3 is even easier still. What was your experience on that? How much was it equally hard, differently hard? What was your experience of zero to 100 and like 100 to 2 and kind of 50 hours of 10 and 10 to, I work whenever I want?
I feel like at the beginning, I got my prices raised up quickly. And I had my cost of goods sold figured out pretty good. And I don't want to go too far into the in depth here, but when I was a small company, I hired a manager prematurely. So my overhead was way over than where it should be. So, and I felt obligated, you know, keep this person on. I wanted to keep her growing in the company, and I chose to keep this person on. And that affected my profits. So it was my cost of goods sold that was costing me. It was my overhead that was costing me. But it probably took me, you know, to get to, I think when I first met you, I think it was 2017, you know, and
six years. Crazy, babe. We were both young
6 men. Years. Yeah.
Because this we're recording is 2023. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, it took me, when I first started the company, it took me a good year and a half to start actually getting a decent amount of clients. So really, I would say, you know, a couple of years to get to the point that I'm like, okay, I could take that, you know, $10,000 out a month if I had my overhead cleared up, you know, which I would recommend for people listening, follow Mike's rules. You know, only have people that he requires to have in the company. They don't have to be full-time as well. That's what screwed me up. The second half of growing even faster, which really happened within this year, I just had a whole mindset change of like, hey, you know what? We have a new management team in place. They just get me better. They're taking care of things, so I don't feel like I have to be over their shoulders anymore. And I'm super hyper focused on working on my business and finding those higher end clients that I wanted to find. And just this year alone, we've grown more than we have, I think, in the last couple of years. And you know,
we're in July, by the way. So when he says this year alone, we're talking 6 months more than the last, maybe 18 or 24.
Yeah. And it's all what you think in your mind. If you think that all you can do is find $1,500 a month clients, that's all you're going to find. If you think that, hey, I can definitely find a $25,000 to $30,000 a month client. You're gonna find those. You just have to look for the opportunities and get a little more creative. Those fish take maybe at times take a little longer to reel in, but they're worth it. You know. So you just have to change your mindset of am I gonna always be that type of business that's can only get, you know, $2,500 a month contract max, or am I the type of person and company that deserves those 25 to 30 to 50 to 80,000 a month contracts, you know, because they're out there. You just have to have preparation to find them and systems to be able to bring those on. And yeah, you can stay profitable. You can make that money and just enjoy your life. So yeah, I would say the second half came a lot faster. And I feel like from where I grew to a million, that second million, you know, will, so I think it, I can't, I won't go give full timelines of what it took me, but literally the second million will literally come within the next year and a half of into my business. So
you said so many good things I want to hit. One, by the way, you start getting those larger contracts. Just, I know you guys are thinking, oh, it's price. You got to be really priced. Nope. Believe it or not, they're less price sensitive, the more expensive it is, because when you have a $20,000 a month contract, that's a big deal. That affects your day-to-day life and affects a lot of people. So they're much more interested in, this has got to be done right. And obviously I'm not going to get screwed on price, but it is almost never the low price bidder. When you get a $500 a month client, it is often, not often, but it's just so you know, it's not price. Sure. Yeah. So they will fight you harder because they don't see the value. For $500 a month, they could have Susie, the receptionist, do it or whatever the case. When it's $20,000 a month, they know that it's a problem and they know that some knucklehead saying he can do it for $16,200 ain't going to get it done. Okay. So that just as an aside, the big thing I took from Spencer is, and he said it so perfectly, and for him, it happened to be that quote unquote general manager, right? And not just, I've got a manager, whatever that is. And we always think we get that, all that does is move the bottleneck in your business from you to somebody else. And that person is not an owner. So it happens almost like clockwork. They just degrade and degrade and degrade because you're expecting them to do too many jobs that they're qualified for probably a third of them. They're willing to do the other two thirds and they're not getting the financial rewards that you would. So they can do nothing but degrade. And they start to realize, wait a second, this guy needs me more than him. He's making all the money and I'm doing all the work. I don't need this thing. Right. So, and then you start feeling hostage. So anyway, that's the general manager thing. Isn't always it can be getting out of scheduling, getting out of cleaning, getting into sales, picking the right clients. There's 1,000 things that it could be, but typically there's just that one thing it's going to take to get you that 10 hours a month. And even Spencer, it wasn't that he didn't know what to do. He was afraid to do it. Right. And I'm guessing many of you listening go, oh, that's not hard. I would just fire that person or whatever. That's fine. But yours is a different thing. Right. So it's not about just like, we'll kind of end where we started. It's about doing it. Right. Spencer knew, we told him at the beginning, like, hey, this lady's probably not killing you, but it's just a drag. It's like driving with a parking brake on. You can do it, but it's a hard, you take it off. You're like, holy crap. I didn't realize what a drag that was till it's gone. And for Spencer, to be honest, I wish I didn't think it was as bad as it was. So I probably should have jumped up and down more, but things happen in the time they're supposed to happen. So, for guys, gals, I guess the big thing is execute. If you don't know what to do or how to do it, find a coach who knows what to do. This podcast, like I said, we give you just about everything. If you know what to do and you're not doing it, whatever that hard thing is, and you're like, but my business is different, that's fine. Then you're just not going to make the profit. It really is. It's not easy, but it's simple. It really is. So get the help that you need. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. I think we're coming up on our 1,000th episode. So plenty of free content there. I know we spent hundreds of thousands, well, at least $100,000 producing, making all these things. They're all there for free for you. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. Check it out now. See you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.